another edition of Interesting People here on WWDB. I am Dee Lynam, your host for the next 30 minutes. 30 minutes that are sponsored by American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For creative ideas that can help your company, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That number again, 484-562-0063. We welcome to today's show Joanne Murray, who is the historian and the director of the Legacy Center, which is at Drexel.
Yes.
And it is part of the College of Medicine. So let's just explain to people, because when I went to the website, it's a little confusing to understand exactly, but it really is a library, for lack of a better, or an understanding of medicine and the background in this city.
Yeah, I'll give you some specifics about what it is. So the Legacy Center has the archives, which are the papers, the records of two predecessor institutions of Drexel's College of Medicine. Mm-hmm. So the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania, which was founded in 1850, that's one of them. It was the first medical school in the world for women and the longest lasting as an all-women's medical school. And the other one is Hahnemann Medical College, which later became Hahnemann University. So both of those schools' records reside at the Legacy Center, which is now part of Drexel's College of Medicine. And beyond that, we also collect materials that have to do with women in medicine internationally, all over the world. So we have this wonderful, rich collection that researchers from everywhere come to use, people who are writing books and articles, making movies, doing museum exhibitions. But also we serve K through lifelong learners, people who are doing genealogy. We have people who, young students and their teachers, who are working on a particular area of content, maybe the history of women or something, a particular time period where they want to look at healthcare or women in healthcare. And but we also teach them how to do research. Young children don't know how, and it's kind of funny. Sometimes we'll show them correspondence and show them that this letter has some good history in here. So we'll say, okay, first, can you tell me what the date is on the letter? And they don't know where to look for the date. So it's a whole new world out there with technology the way it is. And so we do a lot of teaching and in that kind of a way, not in a standard classroom setting, but in a different way where teachers will bring their kids or will go to their classrooms.
So is your particular background in history, in medicine, maybe some combination of both?
Well, I am what is called a public historian, and that is someone who studies history. But in my case, American history. But you also study how to teach that history to the lay public and not in a traditional classroom setting. So it's people who work in museums, people who work in archives like I do, people who do historic preservation, who do oral history interviews, those kinds of things. People who do digital work, digitization of things. Those kinds of that kind of work is a kind of a history that you have to understand. You have to know how that works and how you do it. And so having the background in history but also in public history merged together, that is really useful for those kinds of jobs.
If a layperson is just interested, like say somehow you stumble across the Legacy Center online and you say, wow, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to go and read or physically see some of these documents. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Can I call Joanne and
yes.
say, can I please come in?
Absolutely, and it happens every day. So we get either email requests or phone requests, or occasionally people will stop by. And we do like to have appointments so that we can prepare for you. The way it works is you might say to me, you know, I'm really interested in knowing about women doctors and what they did in World War I. Were they part of it? What did they do? And you'll tell me what your project is, because usually people have a project.
Sure.
You know, are you writing a school paper? Are you writing an article? Is it for a museum exhibition? What is it? And what are your themes? What is it that you're looking for? And you know, we have millions and millions and millions of pieces of paper, so we are able to help you help narrow it down what it is you're really looking for, and then we can find those things for you. And then you come in, and we lay it before you, and you... Sometimes people will take pictures.
So I was just going to ask, can they?
Yes,
allowed.
They are now. I've been at this particular job for 23 years. And in the beginning, that was not something that we did. But now, yes, for research purposes only, you can take photographs of things. And but people also sit there and do their research. And as they're doing research, they're finding out what else they want to know. And so they come to us again. And so sometimes we have people for a few hours. Sometimes people stay for a couple of months. We have some fellowships available for people who need to, if they're far away and they need to come stay, we can help support that. So, yeah, it's a very, very rich collection, and there's all kinds of information that relates not only to medicine, sort of as a default, but to women physicians, women nursing somewhat, we have that, but really to the history of the United States as a whole, because what's going on in the world at any time is reflected in their correspondence, in their diaries, in their mm-hmm. meeting minutes, in their photographs. We have all kinds of things that tell a very rich story. It just needs to be pieced together by good historians.
How are you adding, or how is the Learning Center, Legacy Center, adding to the collection? Do people find you, or how are you finding stuff that's uncovered out there?
That's a great question. It happens both ways. Often alumni will call and they'll say, I'm retiring or I'm moving, or a descendant of somebody will say, oh, they passed away and now I have to empty the house and things like that. And so they will say, I have all these things. Do you want them? And then so we go through that process with them. Other times we will learn that someone is going to retire or that they're moving or, you know, for instance, we had someone recently who I've been in conversation with for about 10 years, and she's a wonderful person and had wonderful records, but wasn't ready to give them up yet. And finally, she sold her house. And so we went to her house and took back 100 boxes of her stuff.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and that's a very big example. That does happen sometimes, but not usually. Some that could be, we could get one folder's worth of papers, or we could get a box or two or 12 or 40 or whatever, you know. And as long as it's within the scope of our collecting, what it is that we know our researchers will use and that fits within the parameters of what we collect, then we'll take it and care for it. And so the rundown really is that we identify the stuff that we want. We then collect it. We preserve it. We make sure that it's in acid-free housing and that it's safe. We have our stacks where our shelves are. That is a secure space with climate control so that the materials don't
denigrate too much.
Quickly, right? And then we also make it accessible. We want everybody to have access to it. That's something we have to be sure that we're allowed to do. Is to make sure when somebody donates something, they have to understand that we're going to make it accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work with them about how that is. It might be 10 years after their death that they are okay with us sharing it. Or they have to know that we have rules that we have to apply by, to abide by. If there's anything like, if there are HIPAA issues in
right.
there, we have to deal with that. And we are what's called a covered entity. So we work with our compliance office to make sure that we're doing that correctly. And there are other privacy issues and things like that that we deal with all the time. But in the end, we want it to be accessible so people can see it and use it and learn from it what they can. And finally, we interpret as well. So we have online materials as well. There's a website we have up now called Doctor or Doctress. It's all about a time period when people were wondering, because women doctors were a new thing. You know, what do we call you? Are you a doctor or are you a doctress? And there was a lot of discussion. And so that's all about some of the materials that we have and the stories that they tell, but also broken down to help teach people how you can look at these materials and understand the story. So we help interpret it. We help them ask the questions that they should be asking themselves when they do research. And there's some voiceover and there's some video. And it's a nice little site that helps you learn how to do research, but also gives you some really good content and interesting stories.
Yeah. Sit tight. We have to take a commercial break, but we'll continue the conversation with Joanne Murray on the other side. And you are listening to Interesting People. Don't miss head coach Aaron McKee and Temple basketball. Battle Cincinnati, Wichita State, Villanova, and more at the Leah Cora Center this season. Can't make it to all the games?
purchase the Temple Basketball Flex Plan, which lets you choose the games you can attend. Single game tickets are also on sale, and kids tickets on game day are only $10. Temple Basketball at the Leocora Center has something for the entire family. Big time college basketball action, great in-game promotions, the excitement of the Pep Band and Spirit Squad, and so much more. Get your tickets today to support former Temple great and Philadelphia 76er Aaron McKee as he leads the Temple Owls into action against the nation's best. Call 215-204-8499 or visit owlstix.com.
The Walnut Street Theater is treating the whole family to an ogre-sized adventure with Shrek the Musical. Based on the Oscar-winning movie, Shrek the Musical follows a reclusive ogre's life-changing journey alongside a wise-cracking donkey and a feisty princess. Throw in a short-tempered wannabe king, a cookie with an attitude, and over a dozen other fairy tale misfits, and you've got the makings of a wildly dysfunctional road trip. Featuring all new songs and outrageous humor, Shrek the Musical is ogre-sized holiday fun for the whole family. Now, through January 5th. Find your happy ever after at the Walnut with Shrek the Musical. For tickets, visit walnutstreettheater.org, Ticketmaster, or call 215-574-3550. That's 215-574-3550.
I am Joe Ball. I started an advertising, PR, and communications firm over 60 years ago. Still in business now. Over the years, I also added ownership and managing of several newspapers, consumer and trade shows, radio interview programs, and other businesses. They included a major football and basketball coaches conference at Notre Dame, an art school, and even a mediation company. I am still aiding medium and small businesses as a consultant. My knowledge, contacts, expertise can be helpful to area organizations. See our webpage, www.phillybizmedia.com. That's PhillyBiz, like B-I-Z, media.com. Talk to me at 484-562-0063. 484-562-0063. I like to answer the phone. Phones still work, as do I.
Jim, your restaurant looks great. You have a lot of new customers.
Thanks, Dan. Things have really turned around.
What changed?
I joined Atlantic Barter, one of the area's oldest and largest barter exchanges in the Mid-Atlantic region. They really helped me grow my business.
How did they help you?
Well, through them, I traded restaurant meals in exchange for things like advertising and pest control services. They saved me thousands of dollars already.
Do you think my business could benefit?
Absolutely. The painter I used on trade to paint my restaurant picked up a cash job from one of my customers.
That's great. I need new customers.
Give them a call at 302-654-5650 or visit AtlanticBarter.com. They work with all kinds of businesses.
I'm calling today. I definitely want to save some cash. I don't know why I haven't done this before.
Be smarter, think barter. Visit them on the web at AtlanticBarter.com to build barter into your business plan. Call 302-654-5650. That's 302-654-5650.
The Civil War and Reconstruction, now at the National Constitution Center. Its first exhibit in America, now exploring how constitutional clashes over slavery set the stage for the Civil War and how the nation transformed the Constitution to more fully embrace the Declaration of Independence's promise of liberty and equality. Visit now to see artifacts and rare documents bring to life the stories of figures central to the conflict over slavery, including Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, and Harriet Tubman. Visit this summer to see this amazing new exhibit, as well as the extended run of the Hamilton exhibit. Tickets available at ConstitutionCenter.org. That's ConstitutionCenter.org.
Welcome back to Interesting People. I am Dee Lynam, chatting with Joanne Murray, historian and director of the Legacy Center, which is archives and special collections associated with Drexel University and their College of Medicine. It's a long kind of title. What's the most important part of that that I'm supposed to
Oh, it's all important, depending on what you're looking for, you know.
It's a good point. Is there a favorite collection for you or some part of this that is near and dear to your heart?
That's a great question. We all have things, all who work in archives, that you become attached to.
Yep.
Yes. And for me, it's actually not paper. Archives are mostly paper, letters and correspondence, whatever. And but the thing that attracts me most is a textile. It's a pillow sham, which is a cover for a pillow that was embroidered by the class of 1896. And we think it was done as a gift for a faculty member. And what they've embroidered are things like a skeleton, a doctor's bag, a thermometer, and they've done their own names, too, in embroidery. And while that's cool and interesting and pretty in and of itself, it has a lot of meaning because women in the late 19th century were raised to have accomplishments, as they call them, and one of that was learning how to embroider. So it was a very domestic woman's thing to know how to do. And but the things that they've got on this pillow sham are not at all
dainty
domestic at all. Yeah. Exactly. They are, you know, it's their the things that they're working on, and it's all kinds of medical things. But it's also their names. They are signing their names in thread. And when you think about it, women really didn't have much occasion to sign their names, hardly at all. Their fathers, their brothers, whoever, would be the people who had any control of any property or money or whatever. So they weren't signing a lot of documents for any reason. Letters, maybe. But here they were signing their entire names and making these skeletons and whatever. Another thing that they have on there is a bicycle. They embroidered a bicycle, which at that time was a huge symbol for freedom for women because for the first time they could go somewhere by themselves on a bicycle because you can't have somebody else on your bicycle with you, you know. So you're on the bike and you're riding, and it started to change the clothing women were wearing. We went to shorter skirts and then bloomers, and because you wanted to be able to ride the bike. And so that symbol there and all of the stuff related to medicine that's there and their own names, it just speaks volumes as to who they were in that weird little piece of time where they are embroidering all of that, which is the domestic skill that they had. Some say it was also a great skill for them to have because they were very good at suturing as well, because they already knew how to do that. So so it's a really interesting piece all in one. That's what I really love about it most.
Over time, I imagine, like you talk about, that's somebody's signature and letters were handwritten. Are we going to get to a point that the collections are emails typed and you lose a little bit of the feeling of what that person was? Because I think handwriting kind of speaks about somebody was neat or sloppy or
yes, you're absolutely right. Those things are incredibly evocative. You, for all the reasons you just mentioned, that, oh, that's messy handwriting. He was in a hurry. She was in a hurry. Or, oh, wow, look at how beautiful that is. They must have taken a long time on that, or whatever it is about it. And just the feeling that that pen was in that person's hand and they put pen to paper and they wrote this at this moment in time. And that has such a real feeling about it, which I think most people don't feel the same way when they see something in print, or even if it's email or a text or whatever. The big thing for us, though, is that trying to collect things that are not hard copy, that are not on paper like an old-time letter would be, is the challenge that all archivists face, and trying to save things that are born digital, that are born electronic, that it never saw paper, that it only exists electronically. That's the challenge that we face now. And I do think that probably around the turn of the 21st century, some materials have been lost, but we're getting much better at it now about finding ways to capture those things. And we have some very good donors. The first one of ours was this woman who sent us her emails. She captured all of her emails on disks, and so we do have those, and we can migrate them to a new electronic way of capture.
Yeah. We take another time out, but we'll come back and wrap things up with Joanne Murray, historian and director, the Legacy Center, part of Drexel University's College of Medicine. You are listening to Interesting People.
Need a speaker for your business meeting, organization, or group meetings? Need a speaker who is entertaining, inspiring, and informative? Need a speaker who is an authority on a subject close to your interest? We provide them. We are the Philadelphia Speakers Bureau. For speakers who serve your interests, call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Or write to us at adcomtimes at AOL.com. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Adcomtimes.
My name is Joe Ball. I am 88 years old. 88 years old. I don't look that old, except in the mirror. I've been in business over 61 years, aiding small and medium-sized firms with their advertising and related needs. I'm still at it. Benefit. You can benefit from my lifetime experiences. Call me personally at 484-562-0060. That's 484-562-0060. Or see www.phillybizmedia.com. That's www.phillybizmedia.com. Make your contact soon, for obvious reasons. I'm 88 years old. 484-562-0060.
Welcome back to Interesting People. I'm talking to Joanne Murray, who is a historian and director at the Legacy Center, its archives and special collections. Where is the actual place located?
Where your
place
we're in East Falls on Queen Lane. That's where Drexel's, one of its medical school campuses is currently. So,
Is there anything new that you guys are working on that you'd like to share or tell people, pay attention?
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things. In terms of collecting, we are bringing in a lot of things from what's known as the second wave of feminism from the 60s and 70s. A lot of those women who were doing kind of radical work in women's health are retiring now, and so we're getting their papers. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, come see us. But also I want to do a shout out to Vision 2020 and the Women 100 projects that are happening this year, because it is the centennial year of the 19th Amendment, the year that women won the right to vote. And so we are doing quite a number of things. The first one I'll tell you mostly about, that's because it's an exhibition that opens on March 1st, goes through September 30th at the Kimmel Center. And that's all about all of these questions that, you know, we talk about shared leadership and equal pay for equal work and all of the kinds of issues that women are still facing and that we have continued to face even since we got the vote. The vote didn't answer all of our problems. We have still been working for gender equality ever since. And so that exhibition, along with all the other things, if you go to Women 100, that's women100.org, you'll find a list of all the things that are going on, and take a look and join us. Please join us. Most of the things are open to the public, and you can just register online for them and attend. And there's going to be a lot of fun going on this year. And more than fun, it's going to be very commemorative and a solemn look in many ways at what's been happening.
Joanne, I guess, and you say 23 years you've been at this particular post, that no 2 days are the same.
That's correct.
Right? Which is what makes most of us want to get up, and if we can. A lot of people have jobs that are monotonous.
Yes.
This doesn't sound like that.
Not at all. I have had so many people, even physicians that come by for whatever reason, say to me, "You have the best job in the world," and I can't disagree. I get to talk to people from all walks of life who have all kinds of interesting stories to tell, and they want me to help them tell it and to preserve that history, and I'm very glad to do that.
Would you say that you, what would be the best skill? If somebody wants to be a historian, what's the best skill that you need to do that job?
It depends on what area you want to go into, but I think that if you like a good story, a really good story, and you like the truth, and you like seeking out the truth, and interpreting the truth, and understanding that the truth is different for everybody, then history is for you.
Wow. That's very well said. I like that. And should we tell them where there's a website, not just the archive site,
sure,
that explains who you are, and there's a blog? The blog's excellent.
Oh, great. Yeah.
I got it here. It's Drexel. UConn.edu/legacycenter.
Right.
So there
exactly.
you go. That's,
so find us there. And yeah, if you have interesting ideas, thoughts, want to do some research, come see us.
Yes. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, come back anytime. Tell us about another collection.
Okay.
One more time. Do the one at the Kimmel Center for people. Women 100?
Yes, Women 100. It's women and then number
one. The number
one,
100.
Yeah, the number
100.org.
And that's you'll see everything that's going on all year. And most of those events are happening at the Kimmel.
And you could get tickets through that website?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. Joanne Murray has been our guest. You've been listening to Interesting People, and I remind you that today's show was sponsored by American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For creative ideas that can help your company, give our friend Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That number again, 484-562-0063. Until next time, I am Dee Lynam. Have a great day.